Father Yahweh, again, we humble our hearts before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name for the opportunity to come together to give honor, glory, and praise to you, to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth, to give glory and honor and praise to your name, Father. We thank you for calling us out of this sinful world into your marvelous life. Truly, Father, we know that many are called, but few are chosen. Those who are willing and obedient to keep your covenant law and to do that which is right in your sight. Most people, Father, reject you, and they don't truly understand what they're doing. They have no hope, and they don't understand that if only they would choose you, the true and living El, the only one that can give eternal life, that they might have a part in the kingdom of Yahweh. We thank you, Father, for giving us an example through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who did no sin, who lived a life perfect before you. And we can be perfected as well, Father, through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his shed blood, and the grace that you've given. Forgive us, Father, for any sins that we may have committed against you. And we know that we have an atoning blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, to cleanse us from all sin. Help us, Father, to accept being called and chosen servants of yours. And this is why we're here, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and give honor and glory and praise to you. So we thank you again, Father, for Yahshua's great sacrifice. And in his holy name we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may all be seated. Yeah, a lot of them. Okay, that's true. This message is entitled Chosen for the Kingdom. Chosen for the Kingdom. See, there are a lot of people out here in the world that believe that they have Yahweh's favor, and that they're blessed of Yahweh, and that they're chosen of Yahweh, yet they're not keeping the command. They're not keeping the covenant. They're not being faithful to what Almighty Yahweh says that his people must do. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says that you are an elect race, a royal priesthood. Most people walking around today aren't fit to be a priesthood of any type, much less a royal priesthood, because they don't have their lives under control. They have no self-control. They're out here sinning any way they can. And sin is a rejection of Yahweh. It says, a holy nation. Now, when we look into the Word and we see that Yahweh is a holy, mighty one, those who follow him must be holy. What does that entail in your life? See, holiness is Kodesh. You've been set apart for a special purpose, a holy purpose, which is to be Yahweh's children, to inherit the kingdom that he's prepared. Remember, Yahshua said he's gone away to prepare a place for his people. There are many mansions in my father's house, tabernacle. Now, I should have asked some of the people up here, is this much better than being in a tent?
Like just walking in the tent, sleeping bag, and getting wet,
you know, shower. See, This is the type of the kingdom of Yahweh. This is what Yahweh wants you to experience, the best. He wants people to have the best. You understand? Not the worst. He don't want you to have to struggle. Yahshua did that struggling for us. He gave his life on that tree. We don't have to get on a tree ourselves. Yahshua did that for us. He is our example. He is the holy sacrifice. Now, he's the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, as it says here in verse 6. And he that believes on him shall not be put to shame. For you therefore, in verse 7, that believe is the preciousness. For such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made head of the corner. And those builders were the leaders of Judaism. They were his people, and they rejected him. Did they know the prophecies? Absolutely. They knew Isaiah 53 was in the Word. Now, this is why when Zechariah 12:10 comes into play, and they say when the Messiah comes, are you going to stick him? You understand? Because they looked upon him whom they had pierced. And Yahshua was pierced in the side by the Roman soldier. Yahweh is looking for an elect race, a royal priesthood, people who are living above the carnal life of this world. See, because what we do is spiritual. It's not carnal. We aren't trying to do these things for our carnal being. We're doing them for our kingdom way of life. And this is what the Feast of Tabernacles is. It's a type of the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, as a holy nation of people, for Yahweh's own possession, that you may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, how are we going to show those excellencies that Yahweh has shown us and given to us? Do we show them by committing sin? See, if we go in that direction, we're rejecting Almighty Yahweh. And we can't do that. See, Yahshua lived a life overcoming this carnal life, overcoming sin. So we should have no part of it. The fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love. Love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, we, as Yahweh's people, must manifest that love among each other. When Yahshua returns, he's looking for that love among the brethren. He's looking for the joy that each one of us has in our life. You know, if you walk around in the dumps all the time, something's wrong. See, because we have Yahweh as our mighty one. And we have enough to rejoice about. That's why we're here. He tells us to come to the feast and rejoice before Yahweh. Yahweh is in your presence. So therefore, that means you should be rejoicing every day. Rejoicing to see the brethren that you haven't seen for such a long time. And we have peace. There's no strife between us. We have peace with one another because we're Yahweh's people. Long-suffering. Now, we have long-suffering. We can be there. Each one of us understands what patience we need to have because we are Yahweh's people. Kindness is something that we have to show one another. Now, see, these are fruits of the Spirit. The people of the world are operating on a different level. They're on a carnal level. You're going to see a lot of strife. You're going to see a lot of problems when they're in your midst. See, a lot of people got to have things going all the time. If there's no drama in their life, you know, they're not happy. Because who's behind that? Who's motivating them? Satan the devil. He wants to keep things in flux. He wants people arguing. He wants people backbiting. He wants people fighting. What did I say at the beginning of this feast? There's going to be no arguing, no fighting. None of that stuff that's in the world is in the kingdom. You don't find it there. This is what you find, the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness. Only one is good. Yahweh is good. And if we're following his example, we're going to be good to one another. Faithfulness. We're going to be faithful to each other as well. You think about what Yahweh is looking for. He's looking for a people who are faithful in keeping his covenant law. Meekness. Moses was the meekest man on the earth. He had a brother and a sister that accused him and came after him because he married a Cushite woman. She was an African. And he married this woman, and they had a problem with it. Moses didn't have a problem with it. He married the woman. You understand? But Aaron and Miriam had a problem. So Yahweh had to deal with it. She ended up with leprosy. Had to be put out in the camp for 7 days. See? And he dealt with Aaron as well. But see, when Yahweh does something in your life, other people on the outside, you know, who are being motivated by Satan are going to be very critical of it. You'll hear the criticism. But see, they're not criticizing you, actually. They were criticizing Yahweh. Because it was from Yahweh. Yahweh gives the wives to the men. You understand? He tells us in Proverbs, the wife is a blessing to a man. You understand? So what we have to understand is that even when they were murmuring throughout that 40 years or however long they were murmuring, they weren't murmuring against Moses and Aaron. They were murmuring against Yahweh. And that's why they weren't able to go into the promised land. And if we follow those footsteps and that carnal murmuring, we won't end up in the kingdom. You understand? That's why we can't have these things in the peace. We can't have any murmuring. See, because the love of Yahweh has to be manifested in our lives. We have to care for one another as brethren, as family, because Yahweh put us together. You know, we want our physical families, earthly families, to be a part of the faith. You understand? We do want that. And we witness to them what Yahweh has shown us. But it's up to them to make that selection. They have to choose. And if they choose not to, that's on them. All we can do is present them with what we believe, okay? Because Yahweh has given us a witness. Now, each one of us has been chosen for the kingdom. That's why we're here. But we got to continue until the end. You can't get off that train halfway and say, well, you know what? I decided I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to get to the kingdom, but I'm going in a different direction. No, you're not. When you get off that train, see, people don't believe, and I heard this a long time ago from, you know, our former affiliation and the bishop over there. He said, people remain green for a while after they leave the state. You know, they'll have a little greenness there, but it'll start to turn brown after a while because, you know, you have so much sap or truth within you. But see, the problem there is this. People believe a lot of times their own self-talk. You know, they believe Satan can get in there. He's the master of the power of the air. He will get in there and have you believe that you are something that you're not. And this is where humility comes in. If you're Yahweh's people, you will be a humble servant before him. You're not going to be building yourself up. You're not going to be saying, you know, hey, this is it. This is where I am. I am the man. You understand? And I've heard many people say, I am the man. I'm one of the two witnesses, and guess what? They're gone. Right after they make that declaration, they're gone. They're not there. You understand? Yahweh chooses who's going to be his witnesses. Are we chosen for the kingdom? See, I believe we are because we're here. We're keeping the commandment of Almighty Yahweh, and he told us to come and keep the feast. And see, the last of the fruits of the Spirit is what I feel one of the most important. The first and the last, love, the first, and the last, self-control. You must have self-control. The Holy Spirit gives you self-control. When you see people who are out of control, they're not doing Yahweh's will. They're doing the will of their father, Satan, and devil. Just like the Jews were trying to kill Yahshua. How can you say you're Yahweh's people and you're trying to kill them? You're trying to kill your brother. Oh, because he don't believe the way I believe. He don't believe the way I believe. Yahshua didn't do or teach anything different from the Torah. He was still teaching and proclaiming the word of Yahweh, every aspect of it. He didn't teach anything different. See, the problem with them is that they got comfortable. They got rote. They were in their little cycle of doing things, okay? And what they do? The scripture says, well, you can go in your neighbor's field and pluck the leaves and eat the grain. That's not harvesting, and that's not a violation of the scriptures. Yet they came down on him. Oh, that's a violation. Yet Yahshua came back at him saying, you know what? A man that needs to be circumcised on the Sabbath, you do it with no question asked because it's in the law of Moses. Okay? But here I heal somebody on the Sabbath day, and I'm a sinner. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And they missed that. See, because they made a ritual out of everything, the washing of hands and, you know, every little thing, they have a ritual that you have to perform. What does that do? Does that takes it away from Yahweh? It's just like the temple or the tabernacle or the Ark of the Covenant. If you take any article and make that article an idol, you have missed the point. You're serving Satan instead of Yahweh. Yahweh didn't want you to take anything from heaven, under the earth, out of the sea, and you see what was the Philistines worshiping. The officiate mighty one, Dagon, the Pope still wears the hat. That's who they worship. They wore that hat. That was adopted from paganism. So when the Pope, and you see him with that officiate hat on, they're still worshiping Dagon, the mighty one of the sea. You understand? The fish deity. Yahweh didn't want us to do any of that. That's why he chose us. And we worship him in spirit and in truth. We don't have to have any images, any idols to represent Yahweh. He's invisible. And that's how we worship him. We have been chosen to do that. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we'll start in verse 6. We are familiar with verse 1 to 5, where he tells us not to marry into all of those nations that are there in the promised land. Because in verse 4 it says, for he will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other Elohim. And that's what happens in the world. That's why we're only supposed to marry in Yahshua, those who are in Yahshua. Starting in verse 6, it says, for you are a holy people to Yahweh your Elohim. Yahweh your Elohim has chosen you to be a people for his own possession. He's chosen you to be a people for his own possession above all nations that are on the face of the earth. Now, that puts you in some really special company, okay? But we don't let it go to our head. We don't look down on other people and say, you know what, we're Yahweh's people and you're all whatever, you're sinners, you're pagans, you're this, you're that. Because our job is to take this word to them. We want them to be converted to Yahweh. We want them to be lifted up. We want them to be chosen of Yahweh as well. And see, once you understand that, and see, this is the problem with a lot of people, you know, it's like they're in this exclusive club, and it has a limited membership, and, you know, only certain people can come in. Yahweh wants everybody to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to die. It tells us that in Ezekiel 33. He says, you know, he doesn't want the wicked to die. He wants them to repent. Verse 7, Yahweh did not set his love upon you or choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because Yahweh loved you and because he desired to keep the oath which he swore to your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that Yahweh, your Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful El, who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. So that those are the two keys of what Yahweh's looking for. He loves those who keep his commandments and that love him. And if we love him, we will keep his commandments. We're not going to make excuses. We're not going to pick and choose. We're going to keep the covenant. Verse 10, and repays them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates them. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances, which I command you this day to do them. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 14, 1 and 2. You are the children of Yahweh, your Elohim. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For you are a holy people to Yahweh, your Elohim, and Yahweh has chosen you to be a people for his own possession, above all the people that are on the face of the earth. So he has made a special covenant. See, the people of the world, again, they're making cuttings on their flesh, and I think someone brought it up, Seal, the singer. He's from one of those African tribes that cut themselves for the dead or whatever. And there are a lot of people, a lot of customs out in the world where they do stuff like that. That's why we were talking about the tattoos in that Bible study. But see, they also mark themselves for the dead. People do it all the time. But see, that was a pagan practice. It wasn't a practice of Israel to put tattoos on and mark their body. Regardless. See, so it is something that they're taking from the pagans. They're following the pagans, regardless of whether I'm not doing it for that purpose. Yes, you are. You know, because you're still marking your body, which is something Yahweh said not to do. Psalm 33. We're going to start in verse 10, but you read the rest of the chapter when you get a chance. Psalm 33, verse 10. Yahweh brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the thoughts of the peoples to be of no effect. See, so they could be out there planning, which they do. They're out there planning ways to get control or to deal with Yahweh's people. You know? They know who you are. Satan has already alerted them. So they're out there planning. Okay? What they're going to do to deal with Yahweh's people. But Yahweh's counsel stands fast forever. It says, blessed is the nation whose Elohim is Yahweh, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. He has chosen us to receive the inheritance of the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 13, Yahweh looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks forth upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He that fashions the hearts of them all, that considers all their work. There is no king saved by a multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither does he deliver any by his great power. Behold, the eye of Yahweh is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his loving kindness. His loving kindness. See, Yahweh has prepared special blessings for his people. Now, we choose those blessings, which he has prepared, because if you're faithful, you receive those blessings. If you're not faithful, you receive the curse. You choose what you want. You understand? The blessings and the curses are there. You make that choice. Now, his chosen are called. They don't trust in the world. They don't trust in the horse for safety to get them out of trouble. They're not trusting in their might like these bodybuilders. You know, they think that they can conquer the world because they got muscle. You know? But they're nothing compared to what Yahweh can do. It's just a wave of his hand. Verse 18. Behold, the eye of Yahweh is upon them that fear him. See, they fear Yahweh, so therefore they are blessed. Upon them that hope in his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. See, Yahweh is the one that's going to keep his people safe during these tough times. There's going to be a famine coming upon the earth. And guess what? Yahweh is going to keep you alive in famine. And how is he going to do it? He's going to have you prepared. He knows what's coming. He knows when it's going to happen. What did he do when there was a famine in the land? He sent Abraham down to Egypt. He sent Isaac. But, you know, some of his people, he don't want you to go to Egypt. So he's got it prepared already that, okay, the famine's coming. Store back, get yourself ready, and he'll keep you and see you through. Everybody may not have to flee. And if you're in Jerusalem, it's telling you, you know, you're probably going to have to flee. And a lot of people prepare and have like a cabin in the woods or someplace that they got to go and have it fully stocked. Yahweh is the one that we depend on. He's going to make sure that we have the nourishment that we need to get through even the tribulation. That 3.5 years, his people will be hidden with Yahweh. They will be protected and provided for. See, because they can't in the world be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. And Yahweh's people won't do that. So they're going to have to depend and trust in Yahweh. And he's going to take care of them. See? He will take care of them. Because they're chosen for the kingdom. Verse 20. Our soul has waited for Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. See, people don't think the name of Yahweh is important, but it's powerful. It's very important. When they came to take Yahshua, and he says, I am he, what happened? They fell back. And then they tried to get him again. He says, I am he, and they fell back again. He had to let them take him because of his power. You understand? And he did it to fulfill all righteousness. Did Yahshua have to get baptized? No. He did it to fulfill all righteousness. He had no sin to repent of. You understand? Just like the half shekel. He did it so he didn't offend them. He didn't need to offer the half shekel for redemption. He did no sin. This is Yahweh's son who was chosen of Yahweh. Verse 22, let your loving kindness, O Yahweh, be upon us according as we have hoped in you. And that's what we want. We want Yahweh to bless us according as we have hoped in him. And this is why we have to show him that we have faith in him, because we are here. We're following the command to keep the feast. So therefore, we showed up. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 1. And Yahshua answered and spoke again in parables to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king who made a marriage feast for his son. Now that son is Yahshua the Messiah. That marriage, that king is Yahweh. And set forth his servants to call them that were bidden. They were chosen to come to the marriage feast, and they would not come. Remember, he was rejected by his own people. He came to his own, and they received him not, as it says in John chapter 1. But they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them that are bidden. These are the prophets. These are the servants, the preachers that have gone out to preach the word. Behold, I have made ready my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. And all things are ready. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his merchandise, and the rest laid hold on his servants and treated them shamefully, which they did to a lot of the prophets. Treated them shamefully and killed them. And see, many of the leaders, even during the days of Yahshua, he says, it was your fathers that killed the prophets. And you have acknowledged that you're sons of the prophets, the sons of the ones that have killed the prophets, even up to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah. Verse 7, but the king was angry, and he sent armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Then said he to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not worthy. Then we have to make the decision, are we worthy? See, because we've been called. We've been chosen. Are we worthy? Go you to the parties of the highways, and as many as you shall find bid to the marriage feast. In other words, whoever you can find. Go out there and find them. There's plenty of room. Bid them to come to the wedding feast. Now, and they gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was filled with guests. But when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. Now, see, we got to come correct. When we come to the kingdom, when we come to the feast, the kingdom of Yahweh, we can't come any kind of way. We have to come before Yahweh with our fine linen, the righteous acts of the saints. We can't come to him in any kind of way. We have to be repentant. See? And he said to him in verse 12, friend, how came you in here not having a wedding garment? Why did you come unprepared? And he was speechless. He didn't have a comeback. He didn't have anything he could say. See, because he wasn't prepared. He wasn't supposed to be there. He didn't get rid of the sin. He didn't get rid of the things that would prevent him from being there. But he wanted to slide in with the rest. You know, they went out and they asked all of us to come, but we still have to do some things in our own life. We have to do the things necessary to make ourselves elect, chosen. See? Because we're chosen for the kingdom, but we got to be prepared. We can't come to him. You know, and I know a lot of people say, well, just come as you are, just as I am. You got to repent. You got to get rid of that baggage, that sin that you're bringing, that you have with you. You get rid of it. And see, once you've gotten rid of that, you get clean. You get cleansed up, you know. You get ready. Then in verse 13, the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And this is why we have to be right before Yahweh. We have to be prepared. We can't come to him any kind of way. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Yahshua the Messiah, to them that have obtained a like precious faith, with us in the righteousness of our Elohim and Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. See here, Peter is saying, this is for all of you that have obtained that like precious faith. Everybody that comes does not have that like precious faith. Remember, the wheat and the tares. The tares were stolen by the evil one to grow up next to the wheat. And Yahshua told them, the enemy has done that. See? Those tares aren't going to be able to enter into the kingdom. They're going to be gathered up and thrown into the lake of fire. They're going to be burned. But Yahweh's people will be gathered by the angels and enter into the kingdom. They're chosen. Verse 2, it says, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of Yahweh and of Yahshua our master, seeing that his supernatural power, that supernatural power is given to you at baptism, a down payment. It's the Holy Spirit. Everybody doesn't have it, yet they're out there telling you that they have the Spirit of Yahweh, and they don't. This is why it's not really a big deal when you see these ministers out there that have fallen. You know, they had a relation with a ship with their secretaries or somebody else in the church or whatever, from Jerry Falwell to, you know, all of these so-called icons there on TV, and all of them have had their problems. And the reason is they don't have the Holy Spirit. Yahweh's Spirit cannot abide with a sinful, carnal person. And His Spirit is given in the name of Yahshua the Messiah, and they have not been baptized in the name of Yahshua. Therefore, they're walking in error, not in truth. They're leading people in error, not in truth. He says, seeing that his supernatural power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and holiness. See, we're a holy people through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. And the virtue of Yahshua the Messiah is impeccable. It's above all others. We esteem to try to get to that point. We want to be like Yahshua. By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the heavenly nature. See, so once we get to that point where we have received the Holy Spirit, then we are partaking of that heavenly nature of Yahshua the Messiah. See, we're following him. We are his people. We've been chosen for the kingdom. Our job is just to get to the end. All we have to do is overcome this life and not fall. And if we fall, get back up. A righteous man falls 7 times and rises yet again. See, I know a lot of people were taught in our former affiliation, if you sin, you're done, which was really contrary to the scriptures. You understand? And I couldn't find that in the Word, that if you sin, you were done. Because if that was the case, not one of them would be able to say that they're going to make it into the kingdom. Because all men are sinners. And I don't see how any of them can place themselves above the rest of the people. Because the sins that they were committing were far worse, just like the Pharisees. You understand? You're putting other people down, so they were spiritual Pharisees. You're putting other people down, telling them they can't make it or enter into the kingdom because they're not living according to the Word or your policy. You understand? They added to the Word just like the Jews did with the Talmud. They have their own Talmud saying, oh, you can only have so many braids. Oh, you can't look a certain way. You can't dress a certain way. You got to look like us. You understand? Where in the Word does it tell you you have to look like a farmer or, you know, a particular, like blue jean wearing individual all the time? No, Yahweh wants you to come before him correct. He wants you to come before him in your best. He wants you to come before him with your best. And I'm speaking of attitude. I'm speaking of the way you treat one another. You can't treat someone a certain way and then say, well, you know, you sit over here. We have a parable in here about that, where the rich man comes in and you treat him better than the poor man comes in his raggedy clothes. If that's all he got, you accept him that way. See, our goal is to show love one to another. We can't dictate how you come to Yahweh. You understand? Other than repentance, without sin. We're not talking about how you look, how you dress. Well, to a certain extent, you got to be modest. You can't come in, you know, with all of your flesh exposed, like in a bikini or whatever, because we know that you can wear clothes. You understand? So everybody that comes before Yahweh, you have to do it right. And right is here. It's the heart. This is what Yahweh is looking at. He's looking at our hearts. He's not looking at our outward appearance. He's looking at what's in here. And that's who's going to be chosen for the kingdom. In verse, I didn't finish. It says, that you may, these may become partakers of the heavenly nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. And that's what's happened. The world is corrupt. And those who are in the world are corrupt. And they're trying to pass that corruption on to you. See? And we can't accept it. We can't accept that corruption by their lust. Yes, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith supply virtue. And remember I spoke about that virtue of Yahshua the Messiah. His virtue is above all others. And in your virtue, knowledge. And in knowledge, self-control. Now, we saw self-control was a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And people who are exercising self-control are exercising the Spirit. They're showing the fruit of the Spirit in their life. Those who are not exercising self-control are showing that they do not have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. And in self-control, patience. And in patience, holiness. And in your holiness, brotherly kindness, which is love, agape. And in your, actually, filio. Is that the one? Yes. And in your brotherly kindness, love. And that's the agape. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful to the knowledge of our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah. For he who lacks these things is blind. And there are many blind people out here trying to tell you how to live. And they can't see. See, it is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, give the Lord diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied to you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our sovereign and Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Brethren, we need to make our calling and election sure so that we are chosen for the kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And there's a reason that we have to do this thing. And this is the reason. Dare any of you, having a matter against his neighbor, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? If we have a problem one with another, we're supposed to come to the assembly, the administration. Matthew 18 says, go to your brother first, alone, right? And solve the problem. Now, if you can't solve it between you and that individual, then you take with you two or three others, go to them, and have them hear, arbitrate, have them hear the controversy between you and your brother. And if they won't hear them, they might say, you know what? The other person is right. Then you have to be the one to turn and see that, okay, I'm the one with the problem. You understand? Because sometimes it's that way. You don't see it. So when you go get the two or three others and you take them and they hear that every word might be established and they say, well, you know, brother so-and-so, it looks like you're the one with the problem. So then you have to do the amends and ask for forgiveness. And if you do, fine. But if you don't, then it goes to the assembly, to the administration. And that's why it says, you know, you don't go to the law, go to the law of the land against your brother. You go to the leadership. And they make a decision. And if they won't accept it, then they're going to be just like the Gentiles, the sinners out there in the world. You got to treat them that way because that's where they acted. It says, for do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Those who are chosen are going to judge the world. And if the world is judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? No. We have to have that ability to be able to judge all things because Yahweh has given us his word. We know that we will judge according to truth, according to the word of Yahweh. Now, verse 3 says, do you not know that we shall judge angels? So not only are you going to judge the world, you're going to judge angels. How much more things that pertain to this life? See, the things to this life, it's really inconsequential. They're small matters. If then in verse 4 you have to judge things pertaining to this life, do you set them to judge who are of no account in the assembly? Someone who's a novice? No. Those who judge have to have some experience. They have to have been around a while. They have to know the word. You can't put somebody that don't know the word before the people to judge the people. They'll mess it up every time because power will corrupt. A lot of people can't handle it. And they'll let go to their head, and then they'll start doing things crazy. And we've seen that in the past. See? Verse 5, it says, I say this to your shame. What can there not be found among you one wise man who shall be able to decide between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers? No, already it is altogether a defect in you that you have lawsuits one with another. Why not rather take the wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? No, but you yourselves do wrong and defraud, and that you're good. I had one of the brothers in the past upset with me because I told one of the sisters, you know, that he was kind of acting crazy, and I said, call the police. And he got upset because he wanted me to judge the circumstance and the situation, and I did. I said, call the police. Because he was acting outside of this. He was acting like he needed to be in the world. He wasn't walking in truth. He would not hear me, so I turned him over to the authorities that he would hear. You understand? And he didn't like that. He was upset with me because I said, call the popo. And guess what? He straightened up at that point. He didn't want to deal with the popo. See, you have so much authority within the faith. If people won't accept that authority, they are outside the faith. You understand? If they won't accept the correction of the leader in the faith, then they go outside the faith. See, Yahweh will use the authorities. He has the power. All of it belongs to him, even of the world. He controls that. Now, it says here, verse 7, no, already it is altogether a defect in you that you have lawsuits one with another. Why not rather take the wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? No, but you yourselves do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? And they will not. Only the righteous, only the chosen are going to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Only the chosen are going to be in that kingdom of Yahweh. Now, it says here in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you repented, you were baptized, and you were sanctified, set apart for a holy purpose. And but you were justified in the name of the sovereign Yahshua the Messiah and in the spirit of our Elohim. See, we understand the difference between the world and the faith. If you're not willing to accept the correction of Yahweh and his authority in the faith, you have to be outside. And if you're outside, then you go to Satan. He said, turn them over to Satan so that they can have their flesh corrected. Now, sometimes people turn around and they repent. And they come back. And what are we supposed to do? We receive them, right? He says, if your brother repents, when Peter asked that question, he said, 70 times 7. If he repents and comes to you and stands sorry, you forgive him. And we'll do that. But they have to repent. They have to ask for forgiveness. Psalm 105. Psalm 105, We'll start at verse 1. I want you to read the whole chapter. We're not going to do the whole chapter. We don't have time. But I'm going to hit a couple highlight points. It says, "Oh, give thanks to Yahweh. Call upon his name." Now, a lot of people in the world who are not using the name don't see the importance of it at that point, at this point. But once they start to plug Yahweh's name into the scripture, this thing opens up. They see a world of difference in the scriptures. "Make known among the peoples his doing. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Talk of all his marvelous works." We can't be singing to the pagan names trying to give glory to Yahweh. It doesn't work. Yahweh is unique. He's the living El. He's the only true mighty one. "Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Yahweh. Seek you, Yahweh, in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O you seed of Abraham, the servant." And we are the seed of Abraham, the descendant. "You children of Yaakov, Jacob, his chosen one." We are his chosen one. "He is Yahweh, our Elohim. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. The covenant which he had made to Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed the same to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant." Drop down to verse 26. "He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They set among them his signs and wonders in the land of Ham, in Egypt. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. The land swarmed with frogs in the chambers of their king. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their borders. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in the land. He struck their vines also in their fig trees and broke the trees of their borders. He spoke, and the locust came and the grasshopper, and that without number. And they ate up every herb in the land and ate up the fruit of their ground. He struck also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of their strength. And he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among his tribe." Now, they walked away with all of this booty, all of this bounty. And guess what? They ain't had no place to spend it. No stores, no shopping centers, no malls, no outlets. And you know why? They didn't need anything. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their feet didn't swell. He provided them food. They had their bread. He provided everything they needed. So, you know, it was like we got all this money from Egypt and we can't spend it. I'm sure there were some caravans that came by, you know, like a kid in a candy store. I got 25 cents in my pocket. It's burning a hole. I got to spend it, you know. So I'm sure the caravans that came by from, you know, Assyria or Babylon all the way over, going down to Egypt, they probably stopped and bought some things from them. But, you know, they still had their flocks and their herds, so they had their offerings, their, you know, for their second tithe, their first tithe, their offering, because their animals were still producing. They were blessed, remember? And they had all this wealth. And they were chosen. But guess what? From Egypt to the promised land was an 11 days journey. Yet they took 40 years to get there. That whole generation had to die off because they weren't right with Yahweh. And only the children went into the promised land. See, those who were circumcised died in the wilderness. It was the uncircumcised children that actually went into the promised land. See, so you can be blessed of Yahweh and have all the good and still not be chosen. Because you take for granted what Yahweh has done for you. And he took them out of Egypt, gave them all this wealth, and they murmured, they rejected Yahweh. Only Yahshua and Caleb went into the promised land with the children. Verse 38, it says, and Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give them light in the night. And see, this is Yahshua the Messiah leading them. They had the Savior just like we have Yahshua today. His chosen, we have Yahshua leading us. We're in Yahweh's presence at the kingdom of Yahweh at the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is one of the reasons we look forward to being here. But we can't act like Israel of old or those who are outside the faith. We have to give honor and glory and praise to Yahweh. We have to show love one to another, our brethren. They asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven, that manna. So they had meat and bread provided for them. He opened the rock, and water gushed out, so they had the water. What was it that they needed or thought they needed that they didn't have? Yahweh provided everything for them, and he'll do the same for each and every one of us. It says in 41, he opened the rock, and water gushed out. They ran into dry places like a river. But he remembered his holy word and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy. And that's where we are today, brother. We have been brought forth with joy. We have to give honor and glory to Yahweh and his chosen with singing. We have to sing praise and show Yahweh that we care and we thank him for the blessings that he's given us and have brought us to this place. And he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took the labor of the peoples in possession, that they might keep his statutes and observe his law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 49, starting in verse 5. And now says Yahweh that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, and that Israel be gathered to him. For I am honorable in the eyes of Yahweh, and my Elohim has become my strength. Is Yahweh your strength today, brother? He has to be your strength today. The chosen of Yahweh will be in his kingdom. And he said in verse 6, is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel? I will also give you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation to the end of the earth. Remember the Eliyahu message. We've been called and chosen to take this message to the world, that they know that Yahweh is our mighty one. Verse 7. In this manner says Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation hates, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall worship because of Yahweh that is faithful, even the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. See, the Holy One of Israel has chosen us. In this manner says Yahweh, in an acceptable time have I answered you, and in a day of salvation have I helped you. And I will preserve you and give you for a covenant of the people, to raise up the land to make them inherit the desolate heritage, saying to them that are bound, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and on all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun strike them. For he that has mercy on them will lead them by the springs of water. Will he guide them? And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. And Isaiah 35 talks about that highway that's exalted, that holy way. He says in verse 12 here, lo, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north. The north represents Assyria and Babylon, and that area is north of Jerusalem, north of Israel. And the west, the USA, United States, people coming from the west. And these from the land of Sinim, from China. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for Yahweh, it has comforted his people and will have compassion upon his afflicted. Yahweh's going to have compassion on all his people. In Revelation chapter 17 is our closing passage. Remember, chosen for the kingdom. That's the title of this message. Chosen for the kingdom. In verse 1 of Revelation 17 it says, and there came one of the seven angels that had the seven bowls and spoke with me, saying, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot that sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and they that dwell in the earth were made drunken with the wine of her fornication. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman on a scarlet-colored beast, full of names and blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold, and with precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abomination, even the unclean things of her fornication. Remember, Daniel would not eat the dainties of the king. He got the head of the eunuch convinced that if he would just give them water and vegetables, that they would end up better than eating the king's dainties. And he tested them for a period of time and found that what Daniel said was so. So he took all of the dainties away from all of the young men and gave them water and vegetables. So therefore, Daniel didn't violate the clean food law. See? Yahweh allowed that to happen in his life. Verse 5. And upon her forehead, a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yahshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with great wonder. And the angel said to me, why did you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and to go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, they whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. See, our names have been written in that book from the foundation of the world. I had that question the other day by Matt. He was saying that we don't have free will. And I said, yes, you do. Just because he knows what you're going to choose don't mean you don't have free will. You can choose to serve him or not. He knows. You still have free will. When they behold the beast, how he was and is not and shall come, here is the mind that has wisdom. the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings, the five are fallen, the one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a little while. And the beast that was and is not is himself also an eighth, and is of the seven. And he goes into perdition. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings, who have received no kingdom as yet, but they shall receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one mind, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is sovereign of rulers and king of kings, and they shall also overcome that are with him. And that's where we come in, brethren, called the chosen and faithful. See, we've been chosen for the kingdom to overcome this world and Satan the devil and the tribulation that is soon coming upon this earth. All we have to do is remain faithful. See, we've been called and we've been chosen. And he says to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are people, and multitudes and nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw, and the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. For Yahweh did put in their hearts to do his mind, and to come to one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast, until the words of Yahweh should be accomplished. And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Almighty Yahweh has called the people for his own possession. He's called the people to keep his covenant, to accept his commandment, to live according to his will. See, we've responded to that call. We're here because the kingdom of Yahweh is represented by this Feast of Tabernacles. And Yahweh's people are here. We're represented. We're overcoming the world because we're out of the world for these 8 days. We've come before Yahweh to show him that we love him and that we're keeping his commandments. Almighty Yahweh is blessing each one of his people. And he's going to give us the kingdom. We're going to overcome this life and this world and Satan the devil just as Joshua overcame, because we're walking in the truth. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you continue to serve him. If you'd all please rise at this time, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we come before you again during this Feast of Tabernacles, the type of kingdom of Yahweh, to hear your word, Father, to be reassured that we are your chosen, that we've come before you to give honor, glory, and praise to you and to your holy name. The world does not praise your name. They don't give honor and glory to you, Father. They do not know you, as Joshua has showed us in his word. Help us, Father, to spread this truth throughout the world, that those who are seeking you would hear and respond and come into your truth. We love you, Father, and we thank you for your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his great sacrifice. Help us not to tread underfoot the blood of Yahshua, but to be faithful. Help us, Father, to do your will and do that which is right in your sight. And we ask all these favors and blessings in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our closing song is going to be taken from number 32. And that's More Love, More Power.